Let us pray. Lord, as we gather before you, we ask that you take our hearts towards you, because only you can change us. You can change our life to glorify you. So we commit this time before you, pray that every ear will be opened, every heart turned to you. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I have a burden in my heart to share about a topic, which is talking about work and money. Okay? First of all, let us think about, do you like your work? Many people say, we don't like to work. A holiday is good. But actually, when God created man, God gave work to Adam. So work, in a way, is a blessing. God asked Adam to tend and keep the Garden of Eden. So work is a blessing. So through work, man can show his love towards God. Man can show his faithfulness to God. God doesn't need man to help him, but God gives chance to man to use the gifts God gives him. So often our parents, we can cook, isn't it? But one day when your children, they cook for you, they make you a meal, how much you enjoy that. Because in that meal, that speaks of their love towards you. They are grown up now. They are mature. They can cook. Out of love, they do something for you. So if you are parents, when you enjoy the cooking of your children for you. So it's not that God needs man help, but in a way, God loves man and wants to see man through his work to show his love towards God. So work is a blessing to show what is in our hearts towards God. But as we know, as men fall and leave God and fall away, and work becomes a curse. Because of the fall of man, the earth was cursed, and man has to in toil and in sweat, then he can find food. So instead of a blessing in the beginning, it turns to a curse now. So work become a curse. So men have to struggle to earn a living. So right now, man has to struggle to survive, to find food in the cursed land. So because of these struggles, their works becomes now, we are so much worried about our work. If we don't work hard, how can we feed ourselves? So because right now, work is not out of love for God, but work is out of fear and worries. We want to survive. So we are driven by fear to work now. When we work hard, we are driven. Actually, we are just like these little guys here, pushing a gear wheel. Okay, we have worked very hard. So the whole world is just the whole world is like a system. The world, the cosmos, is like a system. So everyone has to work. You work in one area, you work every day. And then if you got promotion, you get to another wheel. That wheel may tell you, it's easier. You can enjoy, you can gain more, you can have higher wages. So we want to promotion to get a better work, better paid. And if you don't like your work, you can transfer or change job to another wheel. So no matter what industry you are working in, food industry, music industry, we are all working very hard, driven by fear. We want money in our work. So this is the situation when man does not have God in their life. We work very hard day by day just for money. But if you are successful in your work, if you are brilliant in your work, now we can satisfy our desire. If I earn more, I can buy a better house, I can buy a better car, I can have a better life. So more than that, not only driven by fear now, we are driven by our desire to earn more, to have a better life. And more than that, if you work really good, you are, people say you are the best performance. And then you have pride, proud, because you want to be number one. So now men are driven not only by worries, but also by their desires, or also by their ambition. No matter what is driven you to push the wheel every day, who is your boss? We can say it's money. Well, when the Lord speaks to people, do not worry, because man cannot serve two masters. Either you are serving mammon, which means richness, okay? Either you are serving for money, or you are serving God. So right now, we can see in God's heart, in God's mind, in our perspective, there are many different bosses, there are different kinds of jobs, there are so many different kinds of work. But when Jesus talked about work, only two masters. Either you are serving mammon, money, profit, or you are serving God. So in God's mind, there are only two masters. Who is your master? If you don't have God as your Lord, we are serving mammon. So we need deliverance. We need salvation. So God's salvation comes to us, isn't it? So when we look at the book of Romans, Brother Neil has been sharing with us Romans from chapter 1 to chapter 11. What does it tell us about? In chapter 1, it tells us men are in sin. Men are sinners. In chapter 2, it tells us about even the Jews know about the law of God, but they are the same. They are still, the Jews are sinners as well. So as we go further down the book of Romans, we say, oh, men are sinners. We need to be justified by faith. Thank God, His salvation come to us. If we trust in Him, we are justified by faith. And in chapter 6, in baptism, it talks about when we have Christ, when we have new life in us, we have to walk in the newness of life. And we can live according to the guiding of the Spirit. So we're not only justified, we have to be sanctified in our life, following the Spirit, no longer following the money. Okay? And not only that, we will be glorified. So we have a different future. So when it comes to Romans chapter 12, now it says here, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Notice what we shared just now. This world, people working so hard out of fear, out of their desires. This is the way of the world. But now, when we are saved, we present ourselves to God. We no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Notice, we have different thinking now. Because when we see that we have new position in Christ, when we see that we have a new life, we have a new future, Holy Spirit in us, guiding us to serve God daily, we will be glorified when He comes back. We have a new future. Everything becomes new. So we have a new perspective in our life, renewal of your mind. So no longer we should think like the people before. We should no longer have the same way of what is work, what is money. We shouldn't be like the world. We should have a different points of view, isn't it? So, Christians, if you have the Lord as your God, the God as your the Master, then we should change our viewpoint, isn't it? So that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we should embrace the new one. We should let go of the old thinking. We have a new master. So again, in the beginning, we see work is a blessing. But because man became sinner, work become a curse. But now, because of the salvation of God, we accepted him as our master again. No longer we serve mammon. No longer we serve money. Now we have a new Lord. And then, again, the work become a blessing again. So, we should have a new mind, just like Paul said. All I used to think is gain to me, I now consider lost. It used to be money is the gain, but now I consider it lost. So we should change our mind. So in what way we should change our mind? First of all, let's look at Matthew. The next verse, there is a parable talking about let's have a look. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants. Now notice there's a master and there are servants. And then entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to other 2, and another 1 talent. To each according to his ability. So the master gave his servants different amount according to their ability. So some received more, some received less. And what happened? Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And let's go down to 19. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So notice one day, the master will come back. The 5 talents he has given you, one day he will settle accounts with you. So now what would be the new thinking? The new thinking is, our Lord is our master. He gave something to us. We have to work. And one day he will come back and settle accounts with you and me. Brothers and sisters, whatever the Lord has given you, notice, one day he will come back and settle accounts with me. The 5 talents doesn't belong to you. He entrusted you to do business for him. So what you have, your bank account, your talents, he entrusted to you. He expected you to use it. He expected to use it to serve him and for his glory. And one day he will come back and settle accounts with everyone that belongs to him. So the new mind is, one day, all he has given me, first of all he has given me belongs to him, not one tenth. All belongs to him. And one day we will have to settle accounts before him. And what would be the outcome? Let's see, bring the 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bring the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made the 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice, well done. Would one day God say to you, well done? If we are serving him, can we go back? I haven't finished yet. Good and faithful servant. This is the remark he will give you. Are we good and faithful? This is what he longs to see. Not how much money you made, but are you good and faithful? He praised you for that. All wealth belongs to him. He doesn't care about, but he wants us to be good and faithful. You have been faithful over little. Now he entrusted us on earth is just a little. A test, a trial, on probation. But one day if we passed, he will give you us over much. So there are more in the future. Today he gives you a little bit to test us, if we are faithful or not. Okay, so now we know we have a master. We are dedicating to him. So we are not dedicated to a job or a career. You may learn to study as an accountant, okay? But you are not dedicated to that job.
You are dedicated to the master. That means one day when he asks you to let go of your job, just like Peter, he was a fisherman, isn't it? When God called him, when Jesus called him, follow me, he let go of his fishing business. Just imagine there's another firm. Okay, Peter, you're such a good fisherman. Come to my firm. I offer you higher wages. He has to let go. He's not, my duty is to do fishing. No. Our life is to serve God. Sometimes he may ask you to do fishing. Sometimes he may ask you to drop the fishing and do something else for him. So we are faithful to him who called us, not to a job. So you may let go of a high-paid job because of him. Consider it loss, maybe, but consider it gain to please our God. Let's look at another verse. What can we learn? Bond servant, obey in everything those who are on your earthly masters, not the way of an eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So today, even we are working, no matter what job you're working, but we know we are not serving your master or your boss. But in our heart, we are serving God. We are pleased. We are not to people pleasers. Not when they see us, then we do more work harder. Not eye service, not people pleaser. But sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So we are doing it today. You're still going to work every day. But in your heart, you know, you are not serving your boss. But there's only one master in heaven. We are serving him. So the new mind is, yes, I'm doing the same job. You may be an accountant doing the same accountant thing. But you know, you are not serving the man. But you are serving God himself. Let's look at another verse. Daniel was the prophet captured in, this is now in the Persian kingdom. And the Persian king said to him, O Daniel, servant of the living God. So Daniel's testimony was so strong that even his king know that you are not my servant, you are the servant of a living God. I wonder if our boss realized that we are the servant of a living God. Whom you serve continually. Oh, I love this verse. You serve continually. Not on Sunday. You serve continually. When we work, does our colleague, our seniors, can see that we are serving God continually? Or they see us, you're working for money. What is our testimony among other people? Let's go to another verse. So we go back to that Matthew 25. Now notice, well done, good servant. You have been faithful over little thing. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So one day when God came, when we come before the Lord will, when we are faithful, enter into the joy of your master. The joy of the master. Notice, we are serving him. We want to please him. When the master see that the servant was so faithful to him, there is the joy of the master. His joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What are we serving? Are we trying to please men? Are we trying to earn more money? Or we want to please him? We want the joy of the master. We want him to be pleased. Let's look at another verse. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about, so work is good. If anyone is not willing to work, trying to be lazy, oh, the Lord is coming, I don't need to work, work is evil. No. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Because at that Thessalonian place, people say, oh, the Lord is coming, we don't have to work, let's wait for him, we don't do anything. No. Out of love, we work, we serve him. To show that we are faithful to him. In Ephesians, it also mentioned about let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. Let us labor. Doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So work, not just good for you, but when you work, you can share with others as well. Not just serving your master, but you can earn and share with others. Okay, so that's about work. We have one master. We want to please him. One day he will be back. We want the joy of the master. We want to please him. Okay, so this is the idea of work. Now let us look at another issue, money. Today, in the media, you always see all the advertisement, what you should eat more, how we should dress, how we can use this, buy this. Then you will have better enjoyment in life. You will have happiness if you use this, if you visit that place. Oh, you can see all the smiling faces. As if you don't go there, if you don't have money, you can't enjoy life. And if you have money, when we have money, we feel, oh, I'm good. I have pride in myself. I must mean something. See how capable I am. I earn so much money. So it's about self-worth. If you don't earn much money, you feel, oh, I'm a worthless person, isn't it? So if you feel that way, if you have self-pity because you don't earn much money, now our thinking is wrong, isn't it? Don't measure a person by how much money he earned. Otherwise, we remember when people asked Jesus, do you pay tax? Jesus don't even have a coin. He has to show me a coin, then somebody has to take out a coin from him. So he has empty pocket, isn't it? So don't measure how worthy a person is by how much money. So some people say money. Are you using money or money using you? Is money a master or are you the master of your money? So notice the Lord, the master gave 5 talents. So we have to be the master of that money, how to use the money. So the new money, yes, the Lord has given me this, and how am I going to have a new mind, how to use the money? We should renew our mind. We should know to use the money wisely. Now let's look at some attitude of this world. 1 Timothy, what are the people's like? The mind of this world. 1 Timothy, but those who desire to be rich. In this world, everybody wants to be rich. Not just want to be, desire. There's a slush longing for money. Desire to be rich, and what will happen to them? Fall into temptation, into a snare, dangerous situation, into many senseless and harmful desires. If you desire money, you will go down and down and down. That plunge people into ruin. Is your life ruined? People addicted to gambling or blah, blah, blah. And destruction. For the love of money is the root love of money, not money itself. Because your love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs, many pains. See, it's difficult to find another word like these two words so have many so negative effect if you love money. So a new mind is we should change. We shouldn't be desire to be rich. Okay? Now let's look at another new mind. Therefore, do not be anxious. Do not be worried, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So for the unsaved people, they worried. No one care about them, they think. But we are different, brothers and sisters. We have a Father in heaven who knows our need. So for those who are not, does not have a heavenly Father, they worried. They desire money and they worried. But for us,
we should be different. We don't have to worry because our fathers know what our need is. We first seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
When my children are young, they never have put on a weary face, "Oh, what are we going to have to eat tonight? Oh, are we going to have ice cream tomorrow?" They don't have to worry. I have to worry for them. Then, once I become a father, then I know children don't have to worry. I worry for them. I don't have to worry because my Heavenly Father knows my need. Similarly, my Heavenly Father knows my need more than I know myself. Okay, let's look at another part. Luke. "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, and one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now we know something else. What does it tell us? In the abundance of his possession. One's life does not consist in. We know our life does not depend on how much we possess. You don't need a lot to be joyful. You don't need a lot of possession. You don't need 5 houses, 10 houses, 10 cars to live a happy life. Remember what in Matthew the Lord said? Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't keep in barns. Look at the flowers, they are so beautiful. You don't have to worry. So you don't need a lot to live a happy life. We have a new sense of richness. We are seeking for heavenly richness, not earthly one. In Luke down there, there was a rich man thinking, "So you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and things you have prepared. Whose will they be?" So it's the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Are we rich towards God? If we have a new life, we should have a new account in heaven. Are we rich before God? The fool has a wrong sense of security. He thinks if he have more goods laid up for many years, "Oh, I got to look at my super, look at my saving. Oh, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I can live a happy life." No, not long you can enjoy that happiness. Because tonight, God, everything may be changed. Time is in God's hand. We are not saving for ourselves. If your whole life is saving so that you can spend in the future days, oh, my brothers and sisters, who knows how many days we can spend? The money you spend on yourself, is it the correct way of spending God's entrusted money to us? Is it the right way to spend the money like this? Spending all 99% on your comfort, living a luxurious life? How do we spend money wisely? God has given us 5 talents. Remember this: 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. How are we going to use it? Are we using it like this, saving and more and more? Is it the correct way? So let's look at another verse. What would be the new mind? Think. But godliness and contentment is great gain. So the new mind is contentment. We don't need a lot on this world to be happy. Contentment. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. How much you can take away? None. Not even a penny holding in your hand can you take away. But if we have food and clothing, with this we will be content. If you have food, if you have clothing, you should be content. We should be content. This world talks about better food, better clothing. You got to have this. You got to try this. Then with all this, stir up our desires, stir up our appetites.
I want more, I want more, I want more. That will destroy us. Live a simple life if we can. Clothing and food, that's be content. This should be our character of the saints. Be content. Let's look at another verse. But godliness with next verse. I missed that. As for the richness in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Even if you are, God has given you a lot, not to be haughty, not to be set their hopes on uncertainty of riches. Don't set your hopes on it, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Are you enjoying what you have? So often we are complaining what we don't have without realizing what we already have. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. God has given us 5 talents. Okay, how are we going to use it? Use it all on my self-comfort, or am I going to use it in rich in good works? To be generous and ready to share. Are we willing to use God's given us to share? Helping the poor. Okay, let's look at another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, going down, I'm going to talk about in what ways we can spend our money. That really, just like 5,000 earns 5,000 more, isn't it? How can we spend the money wisely? One way is can we go back? Now, one must give as he has decided in his heart. I know some brothers and sisters, they think, I need to give tithe, which is a tenth of their income to God. But that was basically comes from the Old Testament, isn't it? And in the New Testament, it doesn't say about tithes anymore. But actually, if we look at the parable we have seen in Matthew 25, 5 talents all belong to the master, not a tenth. So let me put it this way. If your wages is 5,000, don't think I give 500 to God and then the 4,500 belongs to me. I can do whatever I want. Okay? So giving 500 is not easy, but if you think the others belongs to mine, I can use as I please. No. Every dollar belongs to God himself. So all belongs to God. Not just a tenth. But I'm not saying everybody must give a tenth. He says each man, but he had decided in his heart. I don't know your situation. You have to decide in your heart, but not reluctantly. Oh, he gave one-tenth, he gave one-tenth. If I don't give one-tenth, I must be a sinner. No, you don't have to have a guilty feeling by not giving one-tenth. Different people have different situations. Or under compulsion, someone forces you, or God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, you pay one-tenth, but oh no, I'm going to suffer. Lord, God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so let's go further down. So what from there is, we don't have, it's not a must to pay one-tenth, but all belongs to God. Okay, that's what I want to point out. And we go further down, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. This is the heart of God. This is the grace of God. He has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So one way of spending the money is giving to those who are poor, who are in need. So one way of giving. The second way of giving, giving is not in here. It's in 1 Timothy. How to spend the money, it tells about
we have to provide for our own household. So if you have children, lots of children, you have to feed them. Yes, you need to save some money to feed your family. Okay, so this is the second way. If you don't take care of your family, you are denying the faith in 1 Timothy. Okay, now let's look at the other one. And I tell you in Luke, and I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. What I would say is, you are using it for the gospel's sake. The money itself is unrighteous money, but in here it tells of that person, use the money wisely, make friends. And these friends, they can go to the eternal dwelling. So some people use their money, use their wealth to showing hospitality. They welcome friends, they meet people, they offer dinner or friends to make friends and bring them to God himself. So for gospel's sake, in simple words. So use your money, give it to the poor, give it to feed, support your family, and for gospel's sake. Let's go to another verse. In Acts 11, we see that there's a famine there's a great famine over all the world. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. So supporting the church that have need. So this is another way of using the money. So remember that one day we have to give accounts how you use the money. This is the one way of using your money. Let's go to another verse. Giving to the church, the church in need. In 1 Timothy, it talks about the widows. If any unbelieving woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. So we have to care for our relatives. This is the way of using our money. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. So the church can care for those who are really in need, individuals. Okay? Another verse. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So there are elders among us, two elders among us. They labored in preaching and teaching. They serve God without wages in among us. So we should remember them. It's our responsibility to support them. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserved his wages. So do those workers among us, even sisters among us, if they spend their time, effort to serve the church, we should remember them, financially support them. This is right. They deserve his wages. So if you have a burden to support, financially support the workers of God, put their name on an envelope and put it in the offering box. This is right for us to do. This is the right way of using our money. Now, in the latter part, let's look at Paul. Let us look at this worker of God, how he looked at money himself. And Paul served in Corinth. What then is my reward? That is my preaching. I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. When he preached the gospel, the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, should support him. But in his heart, what is his reward? That my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge. That means when he received God's word, he preached God's word to them. He served God's words to them. But he is not demanding or asking for money. He doesn't want the brothers and sisters to feel that I pay the money and I get the right words of God. Words of God is not for buying. We can't buy God's words. God's word was freely given. So in Paul's heart, he served without thinking of what is the return. So this is the correct way of God's worker. We serve without asking, demanding for money as a return. Let's look at another verse.
Here for the third time, I'm already ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, and am I to be loved less? This is Paul talking about himself. He doesn't want to be a burden, and if the church is not supporting him, he does not ask for support. In fact, he's like a parent, like a father. He likes to most gladly to spend his life and be spent. What he has, he spent himself and whatever he possessed for the good of Corinth. So this is the character of a worker. He is not asking for more profit. Instead, he wants to spend his whole life, give whatever he has. This is a rich life. Not asking or gaining, but giving and giving and giving whatever he has. This is a beautiful life. Let's look at further down in 2 Corinthians. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you and when I was with you and was in need. Notice when Paul was in Corinth, he was in need. The Corinth brothers and sisters did not seem to have shown him a lot of support. And yet Paul did not blame them for not supporting. I serve you guys, why don't you support me? No, he didn't say that. But he never blamed people who do not support him. This is the true sign of God's worker. They don't blame people not supporting him. But in fact, he was grateful for the brothers and who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. So he said he robbed other churches. He felt that I shouldn't take their support, take their financial support, because I'm serving you guys. Now we can see he's such a grateful to others supporting him. And yet, he never blamed people not supporting him. This is another true sign of a worker. If you always blame, why don't you support me? Why don't you support me? If you are always demanding people to pay you back, this is not good, because you are expecting gain from people. But if a true sign of a true richness from your life is you want to give, 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 give. So Paul has a very good testimony. If we look further down in Acts, instead of receiving, he wanted to give. Corinth people did not support him. People from Macedonia supported him. Are we supporting our workers among us? Let's look at another verse. In Acts, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. Not Paul supporting himself, he is supporting those who work with him as well. So you see the heart of Paul, he never demanding people, support me, support, support me, give me money, give me money. No, he wants to give, he wants to give. If there's a need, he work. If there's a need for his worker, he supported his workers as well. So this is the life that gives. Brothers and sisters, to give is better than receive, isn't it? Look, let's go further down. Philippians, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He's not preaching about be content. He himself is really is in content. People don't support him. He lives in a need, I know how to brought low. He lived a low, and I know how to be abound. Sometimes, when people supported him, he can be feel abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So you can imagine his life. Sometimes he's really poor, but yet he's always joyful, always giving. When he's in need, he never stopped him to give. Continues to give. Brothers and sisters, this is the one receive 5,000 and give 5,000. You want to live a rich life? This is the life we should follow. Give, give,
and give. Give wisely, not spending all the money on our comfortable life. Let's look further down. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. So the Philippians continually giving, supporting Paul. Even in Thessalonica, you send me help for my needs once and again and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increase to your credit. So when he received the gift, he's happy, his need was satisfied, but he was joyful for the brothers and sisters. Why? Because their fruit increased. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. He always feels sufficient. He may still be in need, but I'm well supplied. Contentment. This is contentment. He never asked for himself. But when he talked about support the workers, he speaks for others and he forget about himself. Such a glorious testimony. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering. He's not seeing just money. He said that when he sees that, he knows that's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. So in his eyes, these are a sacrifice to God. To God. Do we see that? When we put money in the offering box, are we offering to God? Sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So the more you give, the more our God will supply to you. Remember the miracles, five loaves and two fish. When you continue to give, the Lord will continue to pass more to you. So you want to live a life to give more to people, you have to give out so that you can receive from the Lord. So money, we have to know how to make use of the money. Spend it wisely. Spend it on those who are in need. Spend it to remember those who are in need and give it to support God's worker. It's a blessing, a beautiful life if we can give. So brothers and sisters, may God teach us. Not just knowing we are serving him. Work, when we talk about work, we know we are serving him. When we talk about money, we know what he gave us belongs to him, and we have to spend it wisely. And one day, when the Lord comes back to settle our accounts, we can enjoy the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Master. Let him be glorified. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You delivered us from serving mammon, and help us to know you are our Master. Whatever you have given us, we pray that we know how to handle it wisely before you. Teach us to live alive, to share and to give, not just seeking desire, richness, and spend it on ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to your people, to your church, and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing 106. I surrender all. 106. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worry, pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all.